I have found healing from depression, sexual abuse, self-contempt, and more. And I'm still working on relationship skills. And my name is Paul.
Hey, Paul.
My prayer for this presentation is that the Holy Spirit would guide what I say and what you hear. In Jesus' name, amen. This is lesson 12 called Confess. The Celebrate Recovery Steps program is sequential. And by now, if you're working steps, you should have a sponsor and have done your inventory. If this is your first Celebrate Recovery meeting or have just started recently, please don't be threatened by what you hear. When you decide to do the CR Steps program, by the time you get to lesson 12, you will have discovered there's a strong network of people willing to guide you and support you through this and the rest of those steps. This lesson is not to be attempted without a sponsor. Your sponsor has been through steps and typically more than a few times. Because of that, she or he is in a position to share how this step called Confess works and how they can personally testify to it being beneficial. Having said that, let's look at the acrostic starting with C. The C stands for Confess Your Shortcomings and Resentments and Sins. In other words, let's look at our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. That may seem like a tall order, especially if we've been in denial for many years, but we can pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide and encourage us to do this. Proverbs 23:18 says, "Whoever conceals a sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." A good example of denial and depression giving way to confession is found in Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5, which states, "When I had kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night I had found that your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was sapped, as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sins to you, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Some of you who have heard my testimony know that I was in a sexual relationship with a teacher from the 7th to the 11th grade. I lived in fear of being exposed. So I wallowed in denial and depression for 20 years over this issue. I became a Christian when I was 31. A year later, I was in a prayer counseling session. There were four people involved, Pastor Cliff, and also Bill and Bill's wife, Dottie, and myself. And I was the one that was being counseled. It was there that I finally broke down and crucified my denial, confessing about what had happened between the teacher and I so many years ago. It was like an emotional dam bursting. Fear of exposure was gone. Wow. I was learning that by turning and looking to Jesus, that Jesus started to deliver me from my denial, despair, disillusionment, and resulting depression. The O stands for Obey God's Direction. Confession means that we agree with God regarding our sins. Pastor Bill from this church once said that God wants us to be happy, but on God's terms, not ours. Amos 3:3 states, "How can two walk together unless they agree to do so?" Confession, therefore, restores our fellowship because we're operating on God's terms, not ours. Principle 4 sums up how to obey God's direction in confessing our sins. First, we confess, which means admitted, our faults to ourselves, to God, and to someone we trust. Fellowship is then restored between God, myself, and others because fear of exposure is gone. Fellowship with self may seem strange, but when someone is in denial, we are dealing with more than one personality. Amen, brother. The next letter is N for no more guilt. This principle can restore our confidence and also our relationships. It allows us to move on from our rearview mirror way of living that kept us looking back and second-guessing ourselves and others. Romans 3, 23 and 24 states that all have sinned, yet God declares us not guilty if we trust Jesus Christ, who freely takes away our sins. Because of this, we can do the next letter, which is F, for face the truth. I'm reminded of the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. This is a parable that Jesus told of a wealthy man that had two sons. The younger son asked for his share of his dad's inheritance without waiting for his father to die. His father, surprisingly, gave the younger son his share. The young son wandered off to a distant country and squandered all of his money. He got a job feeding pigs. He was hungry enough to want to eat the pig's food, but no one gave him anything. Starting in verse 17, we see that the younger son came to his senses and realized that the servants in his father's house were better off than he was. He decided to return home and confess to his father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants." The phrase in verse 17, "he came to his senses," means he was willing to face the truth. Facing the truth led him home and confessed to his father. And as we know, he was thoroughly reinstated with his family. This leads to the next letter, E, which stands for ease the pain. When the prodigal son was reinstated into the family, the painful issues he had to deal with were gone. Again, looking at Psalm 32:5b, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." The next letter is S, for stop the blame. In my recovery, I had to take into account that Jesus is omniscient, which means all-knowing, and therefore knew that I was going to be sexually assaulted at the age of 12. I can accuse Jesus of not protecting a vulnerable 12-year-old boy, but I have to juxtaposition that with the fact that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for my sins. In fact, Hebrews 9:22 states that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. I have to believe and accept that Jesus would have gone to the cross, hang on three nails, dressed only in his blood, if I were the only one that needed it. Wow. I can even say that backwards. Wow. That is love. With that understanding, I can say to Jesus that I don't understand why the sexual assault occurred, but I know that he loves me and proved it on the cross. I trust that somehow my unfortunate experience will some way work to his advantage, and I stop blaming Jesus. The last letter is S, for start accepting God's forgiveness. This can be pretty tricky. For me, it's one thing to accept God's forgiveness. It's another thing to rest in his forgiveness. However, step by step, God's forgiveness is working in me and through me. That's why I know that 1 John 1:9 is an ongoing process for me. And that 1 John 1:9 states, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. An important note here. If someone wants to confess something as serious as adultery, for example, or some other form of sexual impurity, which may be pornography or who knows what, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a sex sin, but just something that's very, could be very damaging to a relationship. They need to be very selective as to whom they share that with. Remember that part of Principle 6 states that I will make amends for the harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. I would suggest that you share that with your pastor first, then your sponsor, but probably not your spouse. Your pastor will understand this. And of course, all of this is bathed in prayer anyway. So you're looking for the guidance of the Holy Spirit about all of this. I will close this with prayer. Heavenly Father, please guide us as to what to confess, who to confess it to, and when to confess. We ask for your protection in all this process. In Jesus' name, thank you and amen.